truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. I am your host, James C. Turner, Jr., and today I have with me a very talented guest. She's a gamer, a podcaster, and a YouTube personality. I have today Dakota Runnels. Dakota, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am great, James C. Turner, Jr. Thank you so much for inviting me. Oh, my gosh.
No problem. You and the dogs are always invited.
Thank you. He was here, honestly, like probably a little over a week ago, he was here. I wish I could have had time to line it up to where I could have gotten him and me on together. That would have been really, really fun. But he was here for like 6 hours. Like, he was in and out. Like, we were just a pit stop for him that day. So, but I'll get him on here with you one of these days.
I'm just happy to have you. I'll take it.
Look, you made me feel really, really special just now. Like, the very talented gamer. Like, yeah, I feel really, really special right now. Like, I like this. This is great.
Hey, I only speak the facts here, lady.
I mean, okay, so Truth Be Told is the name of your podcast. What is the truth? What truth are you telling here?
Oh, you guys are, it's up to you guys to tell the truth. You guys, yeah.
Oh, we have to tell the truth. Okay. Oh. You no, didn't tell me that. I was just going to lie the whole time. Yeah. The whole time.
Well, see, that's why we have the lie detector app going at the same time that can just detect in your voice if you're telling the truth or not. So
that's great. It's really good.
Okay, so first question, I got to know, how on earth was it growing up with such a prestigious wrestling family?
Well, looking back at it now as a 25-year-old human, it was really, really cool. At the time, it was just like, this is my life. Like, I want a juice box and some chicken tenders, mom and dad, please. Like, it was just, you know, it didn't feel crazy or weird or different just because I didn't know anything else. You know, and it kind of, like, when I was in elementary school, I would go to school and I would kind of, you know, kids would go, well, my mom is a dentist, or, you know, my dad is a lawyer or something. And I'm like, oh, well, my parents just beat people up on TV every week. You just don't do that? Like, that's not what they do? That's not normal? Oh, okay. So it's really hard to describe what it was like, just because there weren't that many, like, at the time, during those, like, the year that I was born, I feel like not really that many wrestlers were together, like, having families together. Like, there were some, of course, but for the most part, I feel like people married outside the industry at that point in time. And so their families were always separate from the industry. And so my mom and dad getting together, like, I was the only kid ever on the road with them, like, at the arena, in the airport, like, around all of the other talent. Like, it was just me. Like, I was the only kid toting around my Polly Pockets, you know, just hanging out. So it was cool. Like, I think that I liked hanging out with adults more than kids. Like, when I ended up going to school as I got older, I didn't like it very much because it was all kids. And I was like, what is this? Like, I don't like this. I'm not into it, because I was so used to just hanging out with adults all the time, like, all the time. So, and they were great. Like, they would play with me. One of the Rock, one of his first, you know, when he first came to WWE, he had to play a lot of Polly Pockets with me, you know, when he was younger. So it was everybody was great. It was great, old Dewey. So it's hard to sum it up and describe it properly. It's really, really cool. Like, looking back now at all of just all the places I got to go, all of the people I got to meet, all the experiences that I got to have as a very young child. It's really, really cool. And I'm so thankful that I got that, you know, because I feel like I feel like getting to know all of those people and go all those places and see all those things, even though I was a kid and some of it didn't really sink in until later, it was a really good foundation for me in terms of learning how to travel and learning how to conduct yourself, you know, in a professional way in a big company. Like, see, just being around that kind of by osmosis, it just kind of, like, all those valuable life lessons that you don't think about until you're an adult, you know, I somehow absorbed when I was a kid. So
you were even on TV at a young age. I mean, were you just comfortable getting right into that role?
Yes. So, I mean, I had my bratty days. Like, I had real bratty days, you know, like, I was very comfortable in the ring, but I think one of the videos that floats around on the internet of me, coming down to the ring with my mom and dad, it was like we did that particular like thing. Like, I came down to the ring a couple times, and that was the one that was televised and was live. And of course, that was the night that I was like having the worst little attitude. And I mean, you can see it if you go back. I'm like not cooperating. I'm snatching the microphone. I'm like not really chatty. And normally, like the night before, I forget what town we were in, but the night before, you know, it was the same setup, same everything, different dress, but same setup. And I was like owning the microphone. Like, it was great. I so wish that was the night that it was televised. But no, the world gets to see like Dakota being a little bitch at age 3. Like, that's what they get to see. So, but yes, I was very comfortable in the ring because that was like, you know, that was like playground for me. When people weren't, you know, training in the ring earlier during the day before shows and stuff, like, I would be in the ring. I would take my Polly Pockets in the ring. I would bounce on the ropes. I would bring my stuffed animals. Like, it was a whole thing. So the ring is very comfortable for me.
I mean, I'm 29 and I would have fun now playing around in the ring.
Right? It's really, really fun. I think I think a lot of people don't realize that have never been in a ring before. And like, because a lot, this is kind of veering off to a different topic, but a lot of people talk smack about wrestling and talk about, you know, like how it's not real or they aren't getting hurt or whatever. But I don't know if anyone has ever seen a ring going up and going down, because essentially it's a bunch of like, not 2x4s, but it's like wooden, it's like wood, it's like wooden panels, like laid out across the thing with a little like tarp stretched over it, like the flat mat looking thing. It is so hard and it hurts so bad to fall on that. Like, you know, me just playing around in it or like locking up with my dad or whatever, like, I mean, falling on that, it hurts just as a normal fall. Like, so when people are like diving and stuff, it's crazy to me because people, I don't know, I got really defensive about it when I was a kid. Now that I'm an adult, I reason with people more, but I got really, really defensive as a child when my friends would go, wrestling's fake, it's not real. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like,
absolutely. It is so dangerous.
But
you have to be athletic and you have to time those moves. There's a lot more to it than, you know,
I think it's a beautiful marriage between entertainment and sport. Like, I think it's not fair to call it just one or just the other, which I think a lot of people get hung up on. Like, they want it to just be sports or just be entertainment, but it's both, you know, it's sports entertainment. So,
did you, being so close to it, did that make you not want to wrestle, or did that make you want to, you know, try it or think about trying it?
I, in all my life, have never once had the desire to wrestle. Never. I don't have anything against it. I'm not like, ugh, I would never be a wrestler. I've just never had that. Oh, that's my gate sound thingy. Sorry. Don't mind that.
Pippin, it's fine.
I thought I was like at the Oscars. I was getting my my music time.
No. Hush, Pippin. Stop. Be quiet. You're on a podcast. You gotta be quiet. He has no manners. Stop it, little grumbly boy. What were we saying? Now that I'm like, you know, in my 20s, and people get on Twitter and they ask me all the time, like, to wrestle, part of me thinks it would be fun, like, right now, but at the same time, I know all of the pain and the blood and the sweat and the tears and just everything that goes into it. And that's not something that you can just do on a whim, you know? Like, all of my family are so devoted to wrestling, and I love that so, so much. And I just feel like if I were to wrestle, people would expect that same level from me. And I just feel like that's a lot of pressure, and I just would not want to disappoint anybody with, like, if it was subpar, you know, because it's like you have my grandfather who's just amazing, like larger than life person in the ring and at home. You have my dad, you have my mom, you have my uncle, you have my other uncles on, you know, from my grandma Michelle's side, you've got, you know, the Shockmaster, you got Fred. Oh my God. I mean, it's just like, there's just wrestling everywhere in my family. And I feel like so many people say to me, oh, you'd be a third generation superstar, and that'd be so cool, and we'd love to see that. And I would love that too, just, you know, to say that I was doing it. But when it comes right down to it, I don't know. It feels like it would be inauthentic. I'm much more the type that is into behind the camera stuff. Like, I'm into production, I'm into photography, I'm into, like, live TV stuff, like doing stuff in the control room for live broadcasts. Like, that's what I've always been into, is the production of things, not so much the like the being on camera stuff. So I don't know. I'm not going to say never, because I don't know. I could call up my dad tomorrow and be like, hey, train me. But, you know, not right now. As of right at this moment, I don't have desire to wrestle. So,
well, I'll tell you one thing. I know you're capable of doing it, because you spent time at Judson College and I believe Flagler in Florida, right?
I did.
Tell us more time about that and what exactly all you studied?
Sure. So we've lived in Florida for a long time, right? Like, I feel like a lot of wrestlers live in Florida too. Like, that just seems like that's just like a place where a lot of wrestlers live. But anyway, we've lived in Florida. The funny thing is, like, my mom and my dad both thought that the other one wanted to move to Florida when I was like 5, and neither of them actually wanted to move to Florida, but they both thought the other one did. So we moved here, and then they got divorced, and then none of us wanted to be in Florida, but they wanted to stay close by to each other for my sake, so we all just kind of stayed in Florida, and I just ping-ponged back and forth between their two houses for years. That is neither here nor there, however. So I wanted to get away from Florida. I was, like, over it, because I hate the heat, I hate the humidity, I like mountains, I like, you know, like, I like scenery. I don't like Florida's flatness and its swampiness. I just don't. Okay. I will admit now that I'm like, I have become a Floridian because I've lived here so long. But when I was graduating high school, I was just over it. I was like, I want to get out of here. I hate it. I don't want to be here. I want to go somewhere else. And I went to a college fair in my town that I really didn't want to go to, because I knew, I was like, this is all just going to be, you know, Florida colleges, and I don't want to go to any of those places. I've already got my eyes set on other places, and, you know, just whatever, right? Like, I was 90, I think at the time, I think I'd already been accepted to the University of Kentucky in Lexington, and I was going to go there for, I was going to double major in psychology and equine studies. And I was like, that was my plan and everything, right? I was like, okay. And then I went to this college fair because my friends convinced me to go, and they were like, no, you know, come on, we'll get food afterward. That was the draw. I was like, all right, we'll get food. Fine. And I saw this giant poster with a horse on it. Like, that was immediately what I went over to. Because I was riding before I could walk on 2 feet. So horses have always been a very, very, like, way more so than wrestling, as far as a sport that I do, like, horses have been what I do. I don't wrestle, I ride. So I saw this giant poster of a horse, and I was like, oh my God, I hope that's not in Florida. And it was not. It was in Alabama. But It was in middle of nowhere, Alabama, like 45 minutes from any kind of civilization, Alabama.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was a teeny, teeny, tiny town called Marion. And I mean, we cracked a lot of jokes on poor little Marion, Alabama. Like, it's what it is. Like, there was a Subway to eat there, which is to this day, like, I never want Subway again because I had to eat it so much because that was the only place to get food in Marion, Alabama. That was it. And like, so often, it was the weirdest thing. Me and my roommate would go to Subway at like 7 p.m., right? And they'd be like, "Oh, sorry, we're out of bread for the day." Like, what? What? Make more. Like, just make some. What?
How does Subway run out of bread?
I don't know. Are you kidding me right now? So that was a whole. I went there. I went up to do like a scholarship day, which I really didn't think anything was going to come of it. Like, I just wanted to see the school, and take a look at the barn and everything. Ugh, it was an amazing equine program. Like, loved it so much. But I took this scholarship test, just not really caring because I've always been pretty good academically. I'd say like above average, I'll say, but certainly not like genius level stuff, right? Like, that's impressive. Like, I've gotten A's and B's and then, like a D in math occasionally, but like mostly A's and B's, right? All throughout my schooling years. So I was not anticipating anything coming from this scholarship day, and it was this whole big long test of just like all kinds of knowledge. And the whole thing was, whoever did the best on that at scholarship day would receive a full 4-year ride tuition. So I didn't think anything of it, and then went home and everything. And I really liked, I'd already been accepted to go there too, so I was trying to decide between there and University of Kentucky. And then I got a letter in the mail from Judson saying, "Hey, you won the scholarship thing and you get like free tuition for all 4 years," which was expensive because it's a private school. So I was like, "Okay, that'll be where I'm going then, for sure, for sure." So that was kind of how I picked it, because I was going to go to Judson or University of Kentucky for the same things, regardless. Judson was just much, much smaller. Like, I think we had 200 or 300 students total, the whole school, like not per year, like the whole school. So teeny tiny, and an all-girls school. It was just us girls. Which was like, I had just gotten a boyfriend at the time, and so I wasn't really worried about like guys or anything anyway. And I've never really been a boy crazy person anyway. Like, I didn't date all through high school. I was just not into it. I was just like, that was not me. So I wasn't worried. I was like, a lot of people were like, "Oh, there's no boys there. Are you sad?" And I was like, no, not
Not
at all.
these days.
Not at all. Like, I can go to class in my pajamas. Well, I couldn't go in my pajamas, but close enough. Close enough. You could
I
go
hear you.
and just kind of like not care, right? Whatever. So that was great. And I went there for 2 years and I loved it. It was wonderful. I was doing psychology and equine studies. I was on the competitive riding team. Like, everything was great. I loved it so much. And then, it was just, there were some things about the school that I mean, I don't want to talk bad about it because, like, I love Judson so much, but just some of the stuff about it was too, like, too big brothery, if that makes sense. Like, freshmen had a curfew that they had to sign in and out of, and if you didn't get back by a certain time, like, security would lock your dorm and you, like, had to like write an essay essentially on why you
Oh,
passed, like that.
jeez.
You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that, which I was never a troublemaker or anything. And
Controlling, though.
yeah, but I'm just like, just that whole kind of vibe felt a little bit oppressive.
Yeah.
And also, I was in a really crappy relationship and I was just miserable all the time. And I think that translates, like, I put a lot of those bad feelings into where I was. So I went home for the summer after my sophomore year. And like, don't get me wrong, like, I had so many wonderful memories. Like, my best friend in the world was from Judson. Like, I love her to death. She's the best. And like, I have so many wonderful memories from there. So not knocking them one bit. I loved it. But I came home, broke up with that boyfriend, and I was like, you know what? I just don't want to go back there. But it was getting close to time to go back anyway, so I was like, well, I'm kind of in a pickle. So I called my cousin, who was he went to Flagler, and he was an RA there, and I was like, hey, look, I know you can't like make anything happen for me, but I'm gonna try really hard to get accepted in like the next week to transfer there. And if I do, can you please try and find me a room since you're an RA? And he's like, yeah, we'll see what I can do. So it was just kind of this crazy mad dash, and I don't know, it was kind of on a whim, and I just switched everything and I went to Flagler, and he got me a room there because a senior had just like graduated early, so there was an extra room. So that was kind of a whirlwind, and I switched gears completely. Because probably because they didn't have any kind of equine program, I would have continued to pursue that if they did, but they didn't. And I was like, you know what? I'm always procrastinating doing my economics homework by like editing videos, so why don't I major in that instead? So I switched and I started down a track of doing like multimedia production, TV and film production, like all different kinds of production stuff, which was great. And I had to take such a full course load for those last 2 years to try and get everything finished on time. And I did the summer in between as well. And then it was just really, I'm happy that I did that because I loved what I majored in. And I had a job, I had an internship, I was super busy all the time. And I'm not a social butterfly by nature. Like, I'm much more of a homebody. So it didn't bother me at all that I had no time for a social life because I didn't really want a social life. Like, that was just like, I would much rather sit in my room when I'm not working or in class and watch Netflix or read a book. Like, that's ideal.
I'm guilty of the same thing.
Right? Like, it just doesn't get better than that. But yeah, and then I met the darling, wonderful love of my life. Actually, I met him years before, but like I re-met him. And then I was like, damn it, man, I don't have time for this. Like, I'm going into my last semester. I have a giant senior thesis film to make. Like, I have a job. Like, I can't do this right now. And so I like put him off for 7 months. 7 months, this poor man waited. And just like we would talk on the phone before I would, like, for 7 months, I wouldn't agree to go on a date with him. For
It's
the
a good man.
longest time. Yeah. Oh, he's the best. Finally, I was like, all right, fine. But anyway. So yeah, time at college was great. It was two very different experiences in terms of like location and in terms of the actual courses that I was pursuing. Living in St. Augustine, Florida was really, really cool. If anyone's ever been there, it's just beautiful. Like, it's this beautiful old historic city. Like, there's so much fun stuff to do there. That's just like, if you just walk around, you'll see. It's just crazy. Have you ever been to St. Augustine?
The only time I've been to Florida was like on a job, and I had to like move this dude out of his house that was like 4 stories, and it was terrible.
Oh no, that sounds miserable. Miserable. Oh my God.
In a big truck with like no AC, and it was like 110
Oh
degrees
no.
out.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh, sorry. There's
Like our sweat was sweating that day.
Okay, your sweat was sweating.
Yeah.
Oh, Pippin, hush. Go to your father.
I'm glad you brought up the video editing thing though, actually, because I wanted to ask about
Yeah.
the Tony's Barbershop commercial and how
Oh
that
my
came about.
God. You saw that? Oh no. The Tony's Barber. Okay, I shouldn't say oh no. I was proud of that.
Yeah, you should be.
I was proud of that. Yeah, Tony was so great. He was not a camera guy either. He was like, I don't really want to be on camera that much. And I'm like, dude, it's your barbershop. Like, you got this. Like just own it. You got it. Just say what you feel, and it's gonna be great. But that was just a fun little thing, like that. When we were in class and stuff, we would get random sort of bulletin postings of if anyone in the St. Augustine area needed stuff like that done. And obviously we didn't, like, because we're students, it was like the company that needed a video or whatever was getting a deal because we weren't getting paid. We were just getting like not extra credit, but just kind of I don't know, extra something. So that was one of those things where I was like, yeah, okay. And just went down to his shop and shot for a day and did a bunch of stuff. And I mean, that was just a, that was just like a fun little thing. And he didn't really have a direction when I first sat down with him, and he was like, well, I don't really know. I just want to talk about what we do and show what we do. And I'm like, okay, let's conceptualize. Like, do you have any specific shots that you want to show? Like, do you have anything specific that you know that you want highlighted? Which I think is important. Like, a lot of people are of the mind that, you know, it's either the customer's always right, always give them what they want, or, you know, you have to have creative license. And I feel like it's a marriage of both of those things. Like, the customer is always right, but like, there are ways that you can, if they don't know what they want or if they don't know how to express it, you can kind of help show them or guide them to a more efficient way of something. Anyway, I feel like I'm off topic with that. I'm sorry. What were you asking about that commercial?
I was just asking basically how it came about that you got the job and just the experience of it. You answered it fine.
Cool. Yeah, it was just one of those things that popped up and on like a little online bulletin while we were in the middle of a documentary class one day, and my professor, who we fondly call Marky Mark, three of my I only really had two close friends at Flagler, and their names were Hannah and Natalie, and our production classes were so small because it was such a small department, that like the three of us and then like four other people in a class. So the three of us called ourselves the Funky Bunch, and we called our darling professor Mark Hulsbeck, we called him Marky Mark. Which I think secretly he loved. Like, he was an older man and he was kind of just grumbly all the time, and he never really cracked a smile, but like, I think he would get a little tiny baby smile when we called him Marky Mark. Like, he'd get really happy. So anyway.
So earlier I kind of brought up the fact that, you know, you were a gamer, and I wanted to know how long you consider yourself a gamer and how you got hooked up with
Oh God, I think calling me a gamer gives me a lot more credit than I really have. Like, okay, when we talk about games and stuff, when I first started playing video games, quote unquote, like, I was a kid, you know, like, I was playing like Super Mario 64 or whatever, and
classic
stuff like that, right? Like, I wasn't, I don't know. And I was always more into console games than computer games. Well, wait, you know, I take that back, because when I would stay at my dad's house every single morning before he would take me to school, I got to play a computer game. And I had all of the Barbie ones. So it was normally like Barbie ice skating, or like, I would play a Barbie computer game every morning, like while I was eating breakfast before going to school. So that was super fun, right? Super fun. But as far as like, I didn't start playing other kind of games until I got a little older. I played really dorky games. Like, to tell you the absolute truth, like, I just played dorky little games. Like, I played Spyro, like all the Spyro games. I played.
Those are classics. How are
they? They are so good. I love them.
Like Crash Bandicoot, like those are games.
Yeah, dude. obviously, like all the wrestling games, you know, just because we had them. Like, you know, we got all of them anyway, so I played them. But I like all the new wrestling games now because I can make myself in them. Like, used to be, I had to pick people, and I was like, no. Because I'm all about character creation. Like, I want to put myself into that game. Like, if right. I can make a
Eight
character.
Hours.
Yeah, right? but yeah, like, I'm much more of, like, a single player RPG kind of person. Like, Skyrim is my jam.
My favorite game.
You know, I'll play that from sun up to sundown. Like, I love Skyrim so much.
You like Fallout?
I do, but I don't own it, so I've only ever gotten to play it, like, you know, here and there, like on my stepbrother's console or whatever when I've been visiting or stuff like that, you know? Like, I need to just buy it for myself,
yeah,
and then play
Vegas.
Them. So, but what I've played has been really fun, so I just need to, you know, purchase it. I get really, what's the word? Not stuck in a rut, but like fixated. Like when I'm playing one game, like I'll play it to death and I'll go through phases with it and I won't want to play another game. Like I'm still that way with Skyrim. Like I'll get that way. I'll just like, I won't have, you know, played Skyrim for months and I'll pick it up and I'll play it for just like days and not do anything else.
Must be a like, redhead thing.
Oh, I think so. You understand me.
I do that all the time. I like burn myself out of stuff.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then you just randomly, you're like, oh, I'm sick of this right now. Like, I have to stop. Red Dead 2, when Red Dead 2 came out, I was such a nut for that. Like, oh my God, I love Red Dead 2. I think it was beautifully done. It was just an amazing game. Really, really great.
Auto to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Grand Theft Auto is fun. Like, I'm an Xbox girl, and Blue is a PlayStation boy, so he, you know, we get, like, all the Grand Theft Auto stuff he gets, and then we play it together on his PlayStation and everything, which he's like, a car man, for sure. Like, if I'm a horse girl, he is a car man, so, like, all the, like, Need for Speed, Underground, and, like, all any kind of vehicle game, he has. Any kind of, like, fantasy, like, any other kind of game, like, normally, I have. But I've played Ark a lot, single player, which I feel like that game was not meant to be played single player. It was meant to be played with a lot of people, but we live out in the middle of nowhere, essentially. I mean, not in the middle of nowhere, just, like, in the country, right? And we didn't have internet here for a long time. Like, we bought our house, and then we didn't get internet for, like, a year. So we're just chilling out here with no internet. So I always played Ark offline. And now that I have internet, I'm really scared to try and play it with a bunch of people because I feel like I'm gonna suck. I feel like next to all these other people, I'm gonna just do a really crappy job. But anyway,
or maybe you got so much practice now that
right? Maybe so. I've been trying. Do what?
You gotta be more positive.
Hey, I'll try. I'm gonna kick ass. Okay, it's gonna be really, really good. It's going to be great. I want to try and figure out, my dad got me a Switch for Christmas, which I'm very excited about. And I've been playing through Pokemon Sword right now. And I wanted to try and figure out if there was a way to, like, to hook that up through HDMI, not to my TV, but, like, to another monitor, so that then I could stream while playing Pokemon Sword. Like, I'm trying to figure the logistics of that out because I haven't quite put all those cords and screens together yet, but I want to, and I feel like that would be enjoyable to do. So if people care about watching Pokemon Sword, that might not be a thing, but I think it's a thing. I'm a big Pokemon nerd, for sure.
Oh, I can agree with you there, and I've actually got kind of a cool Nintendo Switch story if you want to
hear it. Do tell.
So, like, I just got one, right? I just literally was in my first film with the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
And Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man in the Avengers. Ooh. And all that, was in it. And, cool. Like, on the last day of shooting, he got, like, 15 gifts he raffled off. And he, like, I want to switch from him. Like,
dude, that's my so number. Cool.
Yeah. It was, like, the coolest, like, experience. Like, he was a pretty cool dude.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me more about that whole situation. Like, how did all that come to be, and tell me more about that.
So, like, I applied to be an extra. Like, I do voices and voiceover, so I really want to get into that, and, like, that's, you know, fun. You just have to, like, work your way up for everything, and, like, mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I'll be an extra, and then you know, they wanted me to play a student. I wanted to be a professor because I was a little bit older, and they're like, nah, you're a kid, we'll have you play a student. And then the assistant director really liked me, and he's like, hey, how attached to your hair are you? Because I had a really long hair.
God.
I mean, I'm like, why do you ask like that? And he's like, well, we're going to have you play a military recruit and shave your head for the movie and all this stuff. At the end of the day, I got to play three different parts in it.
But
no speaking roles, though, but I was a student, a recruit, and a nurse. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
No, okay. So is that a movie that I would have seen already, or is it not that we're not out? We're not out yet.
Yeah, it's coming out in the fall. It's like, they think it's going to win an award. So they're pushing that. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. I will be anxiously awaiting, looking for you in that movie.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Sorry, going off on a tangent there. You brought up Nintendo Switch, and I was like, I thought that was a good Nintendo.
No, that's so cool. Like, what a way to get a Switch, right? Like, if you're gonna get a Switch, like, why not get one from Tom Holland?
Spider-Man,
am I right? I mean, damn.
All That's right, so really back funny. On topic. I'll ask you a question now. Sorry.
Okay. No. This is fun.
I gotta ask because this is a question I think you'll have a good answer for. How and why do you think wrestling Twitter has become so toxic over the past few years?
How and why?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Look, I feel like people in general have become more toxic. Like, I feel like it's not limited to wrestling Twitter. I feel like it's just kind of like the world has become very toxic lately. Just very, very negative, very hateful, very just like, people are like attacking each other all the time over big things, little things, inconsequential, just stupid stuff, right? Like, wrestling Twitter is a great example because I feel like wrestling is by nature sparring against each other. And so then I don't know if it's subconsciously people feel like when they talk about it, they need to approach it in such a way that they are sparring with other people, like subconsciously maybe, or if they are just that obsessed, you know, that it's like, I have to defend what I love so much, which I understand that. Like, I totally do. Like, if anyone understands, like, I do. It's my, like, it's been my whole life. Like, I get it. But I feel like you can defend something and love something without cutting other people down and without, you know, like, it's not one or the other. I feel like a lot of people think it's just either it's like it's black or it's white, and they don't look at all of the gray area that is actually like makes up everything. So I don't know why people have been so toxic, but I hate it. And I mean, like, I even like I tweeted something that was like, hey, everybody, like, just be nice. Like, don't, you know, just don't be a dick. Like, how about that? Like, let's just not be toxic, right? And people are like, oh, that's so naive, you know, like, oh, well, it's Twitter. And I'm like, yeah, it is Twitter, but, like, do better. Like, don't let that just be the standard that people are toxic. Like, do better. Exactly. It's not that hard. It's
people
not that
should
hard.
Be afraid to express themselves.
Right. I don't know, dude. It's just, I get so fed up with it, and I get so irritated, you know, when people are like that. But at the same time, I try and go, okay, well, you know, maybe they just had a bad day. If it's an account that is, like, just a shitposting account, like, if that's all they do, okay, that, you know, I get it. Like, you're an internet troll. That gives you happiness. That's cool. You know, whatever. But whatever. Like, people who genuinely seem miserable on Twitter and are, like, having real fights with people and, like, getting all worked up, I'm like, dude, just... take a breather. It's not the end of the world. I
get
promise.
Yourself a job with that energy.
Yeah, right? Right? Like, come on now. Come on. You've got that much fire burning right now. Like, put it to something good. Pippin, stop that. That is not yours.
No, but I totally agree. I think people need to, you know, realize that, you know, everyone else has a different opinion. So I definitely agree.
Just because, like, I can have an opinion that is different from yours, and it doesn't make either of us wrong. Like, a lot of people just think that there is one right way or one correct, you know, standpoint, and there's not. Like, your worldview is based on what you've experienced in your life and the people that you've met, all the what you've been exposed to, how you've been raised. Like, your worldview is so complicated. And, like, everybody's is different. So you can't hold each other to the standard that you hold yourself to. Like, a lot of people make that mistake, I feel, when they are either on the internet or in person. Like, if anyone's ever, like, I will tell you, like, my mom and my grandma, they had a fight the other day. And I was like, and they both, I talked to both of them. I was the mediator in the situation. And I was like, look, your worldview is 100% different from hers. They are two opposing views because you two were raised in different ways. You've been experienced, you've seen different things, you feel different ways. Like, you can't look at each other and go, you know, well, I want her to treat me this way or say this because that's how I feel. Like, you just can't do that because you can't make anyone else do anything. You can't control free will or how people feel. And absolutely. I think that just, like, people don't get that, you know? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm long-winded. I'm so long-winded. Forgive me.
No.
I'm sorry.
You're not giving yourself enough credit. You're fine. I got to ask, for us Stack and Dust fans, and I talked about this a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
So that it won't be continued any longer. What's next for you?
For Dak and Dust. Whenever Dad and I are around each other, it's normally very busy. Like, I feel like it's the worst times for stuff like that. Like, I did a live stream with him when I was out there for Thanksgiving, which was super fun. But the thing with my dad is he has the attention span of like a teaspoon. I'm not blaming him at all, but it is really hard to get that man to sit down for longer than 5 minutes at a time and do one thing, whether it's like a video or like he'll watch a movie if it's in a theater, but like at home, no, that's not going to happen. He's going to be up. He's going to be walking around. He's going to be going out to the garage, like getting random stuff. Like he's very restless. He's very Aries. He's a big Aries. And he and I, when we get a chance, I think to do more of them, I want to. They won't be in the same sort of setup, of course, but like I was at the AEW show last week for the new year, and that was fun, and I got to see Dad a little bit, but that was a really busy day, because I thought to myself, I was like, well, you know, maybe, like, at the arena, maybe we can, like, film a little something, even on our phone or something like that, right? And it was just, you know, it's crazy busy on those days, and it just didn't happen, but if I start going to more of them, you know, to do photos or whatever else, if that ends up happening, then I think it's definitely plausible that he and I could try and start making them on a regular basis again. You know, like at the hotel or something the night before. I would like to see more of them because we had so much fun. We had t-shirts and hoodies made. I mean, like we were all about it. I wear my Dak and Dust t-shirt all the time. And so I want to keep doing them. It's just hard logistically to find time. And like when we are together, we're always like doing so many other things that we're excited about that it's like we forget like, oh, we were supposed to sit down and film a video. So we're going to do more. Like I feel like if I just put that out in the universe that we're going to do a lot more of them, it will happen. So I don't know. I'm going to try and go to the Miami AEW show. And so maybe I can wrangle him long enough at that one for us to sit down and do like a 30-minute video or something. I don't know. But I'm going to shoot for that. And that's in like a week and a half. So fingers crossed. I'm going to tentatively say that in a couple weeks there will be a new Dak and Dust episode. Maybe.
Dakota, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. And you and the dogs and whoever else is always welcome back. And
thank you.
At this time, I'd like, you know, for you just to plug with anything and everything you have coming up and where people can reach you at.
All right. I've been streaming on DLive, which I know we were going to talk about that. I'm sorry. Forgive me also, because I know I just like, I feel like I need a whole gallon of water right now. Cause I feel like I've just monopolized the conversation and just talked nonstop and talked your ear off. So if I've talked too much,
not at all.
I'm so sorry, but, I'm on DLive streaming right now. I'm not on any other platforms yet. I may do that, you know, later on down the road if I, you know, do it consistently enough, but I'm just starting out streaming. So if you guys ever want to come hang out on a stream, like I love it. I love talking to people and hanging out while I, you know, watch a video or play a game or anything like that. So my URL for that is dlive.tv/DakotaRunnels22. And that's my handle on everything. Like my Instagram is DakotaRunnels22. My Twitter is DakotaRunnels22. And that's really the only, like, I have a Facebook, but it's a, you know, it's just a small, like, family Facebook. So I'm not saying I won't accept you if I don't know you, but if I don't know you, I'm probably not going to accept you on Facebook, but everywhere else, come hang out with me. And yeah, I don't know. Come talk to me, tweet me, hang out on my stream. Let's, you know, I feel like I like to have a very chill vibe on my social media and just, like, talk to people about whatever. So I don't get offended easily. You can make whatever jokes you want to make. Like, I think I'm pretty cool to hang out with most of the time. So come hang out with me.
Well, you're definitely fun to talk to. And now everybody that you guys don't have any excuse not to find her.
Yes, come find me.
And of course, I'm your host, James C. Turner Jr., and you can find me on IG at that name or Twitter at JPZallDay1990. And Dakota, like I said, you're always welcome back. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I've loved it so much. I really appreciate it. I'm so honored. Thank you, James.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine. And all you guys, make sure you tune in again next week.
Let the positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain, young G1.